Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to meet here today. May not be the kind of the level of celebration that we've done in the past, but I am just thanking you that we are all here today, that we are still able to gather, that we're still able to celebrate all that you've done and all that you have yet to do. Open our hearts to hear from your word this afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I try not to repeat myself, at least not so often that y'all might notice. But I chose to do so today because I think this particular message is suited to the homecoming that we're celebrating today. Because when we're enjoying our homecoming celebration, we're looking back, as we did earlier today, looking back on the pleasant memories that we have. We're looking back at where we've been, and we're rejoicing together in that history and what God has done.
Amen.
And it also gives us an opportunity to look at where we're going. And that's kind of what I want to do today through the means of talking a little bit more about our namesake. Well, every culture and every subculture has their buzzwords. And, you know, within that culture, everybody knows what they mean. Outside, to everybody else, it just sounds like jargon. And some of them are useful, and others of them are just sort of pretentious and don't really add a whole lot to it. I question whether I should tell this story, but there used to be a little document that floated around the office. It was called BS Bingo. And it had all these buzzwords on it. And, of course, the idea, hopefully nobody ever actually did this, but if you ever got bingo with all those buzzwords, you were supposed to stand up and, well, you know, say that. But you know, the point being, we sort of get off into these words to make ourselves sound important and lose the point. And church culture has our own. And some of them we've stolen directly from business. And, you know, maybe that's good, maybe it's not. But I want to talk a little bit about the idea of vision. And so to talk about vision, I'm going to talk about a blind man. But it's some sort of ideal future state. This is where we want to be. And I've even heard people talk about this in a church setting and really misapply Proverbs 29:18, which says something like, if you read it in the King James, without progressive or without a vision, the people perish. Or I think one version might say, dwell carelessly. But the vision there that's being discussed is the prophetic vision that describes what Proverbs is describing. There is a state without God's word. We can apply it though in that if we stray from his guidance, if we stray from his word, then we will in fact lose our vision. Mm-hmm. I always sort of chuckle with when I tell people or when people that are driving me, you know, they always ask when you get in the car, even they have it on the screen if it's Uber or Lyft, but nobody knows how to pronounce Bartimaeus. That's not associated, you know, maybe English is their second language, or a lot of times it doesn't even have to be. If they're not in church, they've never seen it. They don't know what to make of that word. And I usually just go ahead and fill it in for them. But to somebody who has not been raised in church, it's just a funny word. Mm-hmm. It's hard to spell, which is why when I set up the website, I went with B.B. Temple. It's like, we're not going to make people spell Bartimaeus. Nobody will ever find us. But those who know about Bartimaeus, they'll know one thing about it, right? They'll know that he's blind.
Yeah.
And I'm getting there. they will know him as a blind man. If you get to King James, it'll even call him Blind Bartimaeus.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in our church, long, you can't not know the story. But he is our namesake. Why is he our namesake? Now, we identify with him because he was blind and because he sought Jesus. And we provide those opportunities to people who are disabled to find Jesus.
Amen.
I'll put a funny typo in here. My notes say to fund Jesus. No, that's not what we're doing. He's got all he needs. He accepts our gifts because it's good for us. But what really defines Bartimaeus, though, is not his blindness. As Richard already said, he's not blind anymore. What defines Bartimaeus is that he had faith in Jesus.
Amen.
What defines Bartimaeus Baptist Temple? Our mission will never change. But it is in the service of the Great Commission. Why do we do what we do? Ultimately, it's to bring people to Jesus. We have a focus on people with disabilities, but ultimately, that's why we exist. Bring people to Jesus.
Amen.
With his blessing, help, and power, we seek to turn the ignored, the belittled, the pitied, the forgotten, into the redeemed, the loved, the respected, the powerful, the disciples of Christ.
Amen.
So having said that, let's go ahead and read our text, which we can probably all recite now, from Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 46. Then they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho and his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. When he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out, saying, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him here." Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, stand up. He's calling you for you." Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabboni, I want to regain my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and began following Jesus on the road. This text is in all three of what we call the Synoptic Gospels, or at least it seems to be. It seems to be the same event. Mark and Matthew, though, say he was leaving the city. New American Standard inserts the came to in Mark there. But the reason for the seeming discrepancy may be that you had two, you had an old city and you had a new city that was built up. It was all called Jericho. So what might have been happening is leaving the old city and coming into the new part of the city. But Matthew and Mark are probably referring to that old city that's north of the newer city. But only Mark gives Bartimaeus a name. And Matthew tells us something else, though. Matthew tells us that there were actually two guys in this story. Chapter 20, verse 29 to 34 is that account. And the first thing that tells me is the value of community. When I saw that, I asked a question. What would, if it had just been the one guy that Bartimaeus was with, and we don't even know his name, would he have been healed? Well, we don't know, but it seems that Bartimaeus was the one who was crying out. And the message for us, if we're going to look at Bartimaeus for our example, the message for us is you can always bring somebody with you. It doesn't matter where you are personally. It doesn't matter what you're facing. You can always bring somebody with you. So what's in this name, Bartimaeus? Bartimaeus, that bar there is just a word that means son of. So all what you're seeing there is sending, right next to it, it translates it, the son of Timaeus. We don't know anything about his father, but the interesting thing about that name is that it means son of impurity. And possibly, I don't even know if that was, we're not told. That's obviously what people called him. It might not even have been his real name. Or it might have been something that his parents gave him because it was a common belief in that time that if you were blind, remember the story in John, that if you had something wrong with you, it was because of somebody's sin. Either your parents' sin, or that Jews even had a belief that you could sin from within the womb, so it might have been your own sin. So he is now living with this shame and this name that has this terrible meaning all his life until he meets Jesus. And his life then becomes the story of redemption. But we know that Bartimaeus had faith. He knew who Jesus was already. And why do we know that? Because he's calling out, son of David. Jesus' fame would have already spread. Everybody in the area knew about him. Bartimaeus had obviously heard about him. And he used this messianic reference when he was calling out, son of David. That had a very specific meaning. He knew what he was saying, and the people around him knew what he was saying. Amen. So not only does this upstart beggar interrupting our procession here, he's making this claim that Jesus is the promised Messiah. So what do? They say, oh, shut up. Get out of the way. Bartimaeus, you see, had already received his sight. He had his spiritual sight already. His eyes had been opened. And he would not be dissuaded, even though they told him to be quiet. Even though they were looking down on him as a poor beggar that must have had some kind of sin to be that way. And they probably thought, as we know from other places in the scripture, that no holy man was going to have anything to do with this guy. Not even going to touch him. And I imagine, too, that they selfishly just wanted Jesus all to themselves. But the more they tried to shut him down, the louder he got. And Jesus responded. The cry of faith stopped Jesus. Jesus always responds to faith. Would he have stopped if Bartimaeus had given up? Well, I suppose only Jesus knows that, but I wonder. The Bartimaeus calls out, and Jesus calls him. Jesus stops. Jesus calls him. And the fickle crowd that just a minute ago was trying to shut him down, they had to shut up. All of a sudden, they're encouraging. Oh, he's calling for you. Come on. So he throws aside his cloak, which I always thought was a very strange thing to do. Yeah, that's when I'm going to go see somebody important, that's my first move, take my clothes off. He wasn't necessarily wearing it, for one thing. He was probably using it as a means to collect his earnings as he was begging. But it was likely his means of collecting money. I'm getting behind myself here. There we go. But he throws off then his protection. He throws off then his livelihood in pursuit of Jesus. Everything else has to go. The only thing that's important to Bartimaeus at this point is that he gets to Jesus.
Amen.
That cloak might even have money in it. I don't know. But that didn't matter. Jesus calling, he's coming. Nothing matters. Jesus is calling.
Amen.
And so then Jesus asks him a question. And this, I believe, is also very important for us as a church that is involved in ministry to people with disabilities. Because you notice something here, even though I'm sure Jesus knows what Bartimaeus wants, Jesus does not presume. He asks Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do? He gives Bartimaeus the dignity of saying for himself what he wants. And you know, I've been in situations like that. I have been up in previous times in my life. I've gone up for prayer, and I didn't know it wasn't anything to do with healing. Was the furthest thing from my mind. But as soon as they see me coming, there's an automatic assumption, especially in certain circles, oh, well, we got to get him healed. Well, I needed healing, all right, but it wasn't that kind. But Jesus doesn't presume to know, though he probably does. He asks him, what do you want me to do for you? Offering him the respect that nobody else had offered him. And so Bartimaeus then expresses his desire. And he doesn't beat around the bush like sometimes we do when we get before God. He doesn't ask for good doctors to come and help. He doesn't ask for endurance to get through this terrible situation that he's in. He doesn't ask for, he doesn't beg Jesus for money. I think sometimes we ask for less. Now, don't misunderstand me, because I myself struggle with this. And sometimes don't know how to respond, or don't know. We talked last week about hope and how sometimes it's harder. Sometimes we struggle. Sometimes I struggle even to know what to ask for, to know what God's going to do. So don't hear condemnation in this. But sometimes I think we ask for less because we don't really believe God will do more. But that's why I always say, you know, God may say no, he has the right to do that, but always ask for the best.
Amen.
Jesus, so Bartimaeus, believing Jesus had the power to do this, asked for his healing, and Jesus gave it to him, crediting his faith. And what does Bartimaeus do with that? she thanks by. No, that's not what he did. It says that Jesus, that Bartimaeus followed Jesus on the road. I believe that was always Bartimaeus' intention. His faith was more than a desire for healing. He could have taken it and run, gone off to enjoy it. But he has found his deliverer. He's found his deliverance, and he's not going back. I don't know, we're not told, but I'm guessing that that was the end of his baby.
Amen.
Doesn't say anything about what happened to the cloak, either.
Nope. Maybe somebody else found the money that was left in it. I don't know. But whether it was then or later, I read something else I bet you about Bartimaeus. Again, it's not something we're told, but we are told that in heaven we get a new name that's given to us by Jesus. So whether it happened then, because Jesus did on occasion rename people, but whether it happened then or whether it happens in the future when we all when our glorification is complete, Bartimaeus is going to get a new name. He's not going to be the son of impurity anymore. He is the son of the living God, a joint heir with Jesus,
amen,
adopted into Jesus' family.
Amen.
So what can we learn from Bartimaeus? We can learn that our circumstances do not define us. Not even your name. We learn to put our faith in Jesus and not to let it be shaken. Not by our circumstances, not by the scorn of those who don't understand, who do not believe. Nothing matters more than following Jesus. Not what others think of us, not our possessions, not even our means of support. And finally, bring somebody with you. There were two men that day who received their sight and who followed Jesus. Bring somebody with you. And we also learned something about Jesus in this exchange. We learned that he is not concerned with our outward appearance. We learned that he values every single one of us, regardless of our condition, regardless of our position. We learned that he is a God of mercy. And we learned that he responds to faith. Who is Bartimaeus? You know, he is still alive. He's not a blind man. He started that way, but after an encounter with Jesus, he sees. He's a man of faith. He believed in Jesus. He cried out to Jesus. He would not be silenced. And he received what he asked for. So who then are we as Bartimaeus Baptist Temple? We are not a church of disabled people, though many of us have disabilities. We will always welcome those who are like us and those who are not like us. We'll always accommodate and make special outreach efforts to those with disabilities. That's what God has called us to do. This is our mission But our mission is part of the Great Commission. We are a church, first and foremost, of faithful Jesus followers. We believe. We do not give up. We're still here. We're still meeting. And we will see Jesus respond to our faith. I hope that our vision today is that all of us will be like Bartimaeus. We will not all be healed on the outside. I've been told, quit asking. But we can all be healed on the inside.
Amen.
And when we shine through our suffering, when we are seeing at His work, despite our circumstances, the world will know. Some will scoff at us, but others will come. Bring them in, Lord. We're ready. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've given to us. Thank you for what you're doing. Sometimes, Lord, it's hard to see. We seem to be at a low point here. But that's all right. Because we know that you're with us. We know that you've sustained us. You have not let us fall. And you will not let us fall. And the best is yet to come.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.